have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to KUSA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann North.
And wow, the Supreme Court. Oh, do we have any news this week?
Let's see. I went to the cardiologist who says my heart looks good, but I have to do a treadmill stress test because after my fainting episode at PT, they're still investigating what the heck happened there. So now I have to get on a treadmill and recreate my fainting episode. I'm a little scared about that. And then they're going to scan my carotid arteries to see if I have plaque.
I can't match that, Ann.
But I started my second cancer drug last week, so I've been on it about 10 days, Kisqali. Pay attention to the TV commercials for Kisqali. It'll scare you to death. But so far, so good. The side effects have not kicked in, although they warned me I may lose a little hair. I said my trademark? How dare you? That's where I said how dare you this week. How dare you? But so far, so good. I will keep you up to date.
Thank you. And I can't match that. I was in agonizing pain with what I would informally call a pinched nerve. But I got heavy-duty painkillers, which I'm on, and an epidural in the back of my neck, which is really helping, I hope. And
so I asked him when the baby was due, but he didn't react.
So we're able to do this show through the help of medicine. But, of course, this is the terrible week when people are going to be losing their 6% of the population is going to lose their ACA benefits or not lose them, won't be able to afford them.
Lose them in the sense that they become unaffordable,
right.
And therefore it might as well be the same thing. So do we need to debate whether it was a good thing or a bad thing? I think it was both.
I agree with you. I mean, in terms of moving on, I don't think the Republicans were ever going to back down. A few things were gotten. I know this is not a popular opinion,
I think it's becoming more popular.
Mainly because it has put front and center the fact that the Republicans are taking away your health care.
I think that's crucially important, and we will become more and more acutely front and center in the next few weeks.
At least the Senate is going to say they're absolutely going to vote on that in December. They're going to give it a vote. They'll vote it down, but that'll be a good vote to be
whichever
use
way it goes.
Them.
It's going to become extremely clear, if it isn't already, that the Trump administration does not care about this.
But Donald is going to send us all the money we need to pay our health bills. Now we're not going to need insurance companies. He's just going to send us money. $2,000.
Which he doesn't have.
$2,000. That pays for like one shot for some people who are on,
there's that. And you know what $2,000 per person adds up to? $600 billion, which is twice what he's gotten from tariffs, which he's going to have to give back.
Right.
What I like about the supposed caving of the Democrats is they're making sure people can eat.
Yeah.
They're making sure people get rehired. They're making sure that people are getting back pay.
They're making sure senators can sue Smith over monitoring their telephone
calls. Look, there are tons of bad things in every piece of legislation the Republicans put forward. But I think when people look at this, they will give the Democrats credit for caring about people eating, caring about people having jobs.
Care about people flying on Thanksgiving Day,
exactly.
Although that may not happen.
It's a little up in the air, but but I think the thrust of the Democrats' decision, or the small group of them, is that we care about people, and we were ready to stand strong forever, but forever was not going to get us the health benefits. So I hope that people will understand that the Democrats are the ones who care
when their premiums double.
Well, we'll see. Would they have doubled one way or another? Was there a way to force the Republicans to do it? And strangely, and perhaps not strangely, Trump is declaring victory in getting rid of the shutdown.
Well, but in better news, the Supreme Court couldn't muster four votes to take up the challenge to marriage equality from Kim Davis, who is now planning her fourth marriage.
I think there's some strategy behind that. We'll discuss that. But the court did allow Trump's State Department to misgender people on passports while there's a continuing appeal on that case.
The gay sandwich guy in D.C. is acquitted of the charge that he assaulted. Was it an ICE agent, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
With a hoagie.
You say hoagie, well, we say sub,
it's regional.
Whatever.
It's regional.
I would have worn this shirt again that I did last week, but it's in the wash. I have another one that's black, but I can't find it. We'll celebrate, really, the legacy of Nancy Pelosi, particularly on LGBTQ and AIDS issues.
Because that's what this show is all about.
So, supposedly...
Republican candidates who devoted most of their campaign ads to attacking trans people this year, they lost. It's becoming a losing issue.
In a lot of places, yeah. And exit polls show that LGBTQ voters in New York City gave Zoran Mamdani his margin of victory, as 82% of us voted for him.
Despite Andrew Cuomo's best efforts to pry us away.
Yeah.
Ken Burns' documentary that's coming up on the 16th of November on the American Revolution erases LGBTQ people from our history.
And that is his historical stance. Paul Tagliabue, NFL commissioner and strong LGBTQ ally, dies at 84.
A new bill would criminalize Ugandans for, get this, simply saying they are anything but straight.
Well, some of that happens here, too.
Yes.
And it's growing. Cyndi Lauper was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and showed her true rainbow colors.
We love Cyndi. So, two Trump scandals that the Republicans, it's going to be trouble for them in the midterms. People are rebelling. Show that picture of Trump at the Commanders game and football game. This is a football crowd, which you would expect, he would expect to be MAGA, and they're all giving him the finger, him and, what's his name, Hastert?
Hexeth.
Oh, I forget. You know, Hastert was the,
Don't even.
No, I know. all right, so, and then, of course, this
and they, because... They hate him now. They really hate him. They hate him because of the flights. They hate him because of the food. And they're going after him.
Throwing all the parties while everybody's starving.
Yes.
It's a build, tearing down the East Wing and putting up a monument to himself.
Coin. He wants them to name the new football stadium after himself.
Which one?
This one. They're building a new one for the Commanders, and he wants it named after him. He says, I did it. No, he didn't. Biden signed the bill for it.
Yeah.
And he wants it named after him.
He's at a public gathering. It might have been on a Veterans Day thing, I think, or whatever. And he says, you know, Biden had a 37% approval rating. Mine's up to 92%. Now, come on. That is effing demented. He's at 37%.
He doesn't even have 92% support in his family.
Anyway, and then House Democrats, led by Robert Garcia, out gay guy on the
Judiciary Committee or Oversight Committee,
they released emails in which Epstein wrote that Trump has spent hours at my house with underage girls and things.
Hanging out with the girls. And he knows the girls.
He knows the girls. And, this all raises glaring questions. Of course, the White House is saying
As we tape, there are dueling document dumps going on. First, the Democrats came out with this trove of emails from Epstein and from and to, I guess. in which he says Trump was hanging around the house and hanging out with the girls. So this just lit the Republicans' hair on fire, obviously, because that's just the tip of the iceberg of what's in these files. So they immediately come up with 23,000 pages of documents, which we don't know the content of yet, but I can virtually guarantee you that none of it has anything to do with Trump, and they're just throwing paper at the wind and hoping that people will look at it and say, oh, well, he's not in there.
Well, he was on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox News, and she criticized all these H-1B visas that are being granted. He says, well, you got to bring in new talent. And she says, we have plenty of talented people here in the United States of America, to which he says,
No, we don't.
No, we don't. We don't have talented people here. You're a bunch of losers. 65% of you are fools. Now, how can he get away with saying 65% of the country are fools? Yes, the reason is because a lot of them elected you.
Well, even I don't think all of them are fools, but I would say he can say this stuff because he's not going to run again. But, of course, he kind of thinks he is.
No, he's got the midterms to deal with. Well, I mean, we'll get to it. We'll get to it now. I mean, all the stuff about pardoning everybody who was involved in the insurrection and beyond.
Anybody,
any election interference anywhere, if you committed a federal crime, you are pardoned. You're off the hook. But that's a signal.
Go right out and do it again.
Do it again during the next election. Do it during the midterms. If they arrest you, I will pardon you if it's a federal crime. But you still be careful because you can still commit a state crime and he can't pardon you. All right. Come on, let's talk about the big news about same-sex marriage.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe how many people... don't you watch this show? How many people were worried that the Supreme Court would take Kim Davis's challenge to...
You only needed four votes, and you can certainly count Alito and Thomas.
Maybe.
And
maybe not even Alito. We don't know who voted. They needed four votes. They didn't get them.
Well, here's what I think. Since you asked.
Nobody knows because they didn't issue a ruling on it.
Well, I think that perhaps they could have gotten four votes, but they don't like Kim Davis.
Great.
They don't like this case, and they're waiting for something to come along that is more appealing and for which they think they might end up with five votes, because I don't think they thought they could get five votes. They could get four votes to take it, maybe.
I don't think Amy Coney Barrett is going to rule to overturn same-sex marriage.
No,
so we're up to four.
The four women. Count on it. And could they get a fifth on either side? Who knows? But I think the thinking is, yes, they turned down Kim Davis. It doesn't mean it's dead forever.
Well, if Kim Davis's case had gone into court, the first one of the questions from our side would be, your client has been married, at this point it will have been four times.
Yeah.
You know, and she believes in the sanctity of marriage and she can't do things, but she does marry, remarried divorced people. How do you justify that?
Well, fine.
Other than you're a bigot.
I don't think they would get into the specifics of her life. They would get into the bigger question of, are you allowed to refuse this on religious grounds?
Right.
So I don't think Kim Davis's life is really relevant. But watch out, because they've still got the big case about trans kids playing sports.
Right.
We're unlikely to win that one, I think, but who knows? And then...
Who just announced their... the Olympics are going to ban...
Well, they've been going back and forth for years, and now they're still considering what they're going to do about trans participants.
The word is they're going to ban it entirely.
Of course they are. And in the Supreme Court, they also ruled that Trump and his administration can determine people's declaration of their gender on passports. And I find that so personally offensive. People cannot self-declare their gender. That it's one thing to say you declare your gender to be non-binary or trans or whatever, and therefore you can't participate in such and such. But to just say that your identity is illegal in terms of identity for a passport is insane.
Or as the dissenters, like Ketanji Brown Jackson wrote it, with Justice Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, the government seeks to enforce a questionably legal new policy immediately, but it offers no evidence that it will suffer any harm if it is temporarily enjoined from doing so. And she goes on about...
Because there was an injunction against them enforcing that, their ability to decide, and now they've lifted that injunction. The case is still being considered in a lower court, and so it could end up going either way, but the fact that they've lifted the injunction is not a good sign. Right. And the other thing that freaks me out about the Supreme Court is that they, you know, Trump has asked them to outlaw mail-in ballots.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible. Terrible. Because the current law says if your ballot is postmarked before Election Day or by Election Day, then it's going to come in a couple of days later, and that's okay because you have voted by Election Day.
Sure. That's the way it works.
Yeah. Well, not in Trump's head.
I mean, there's a certain number of days it has to get in, but...
Yes.
You know.
But that means, you know, military overseas and lots of other cases are in trouble. And if the Supreme Court sides with Trump on this, man, that is going to be...
All those old people who voted for him will lose their votes.
Hey, don't be mean to
old people. We're old people.
We're old. We didn't vote for him.
We're old. No, we didn't. But... majority of us did. I'm talking about over 65.
Is that true?
I'm pretty. I'll have it for you next week.
We're going to have to investigate this.
I mean, you know. All right, let's talk about Nancy Pelosi.
Okay.
Okay. You know, put up that famous picture of Nancy Pelosi. This is one of the reasons we loved her. When during the State of the Union in 2020, she stands at the end of the speech, standing there next to Mike Pence, and rips up the speech. This was so dramatic.
This is one of my top five moments in history. It really is. When I, because we're watching it live, and boom, there she does it. It clearly is a spontaneous moment of rage at him and right in his face.
So she's retiring, and as we told you last week, she told CNN in an interview about Trump, he's just a vile creature, the worst thing on the face of the earth.
Fantastic.
He didn't have any kind words for her on her retirement.
Well, she provides such a magnificent example of lack of fear.
Yeah.
And so many people have exhibited craven fear in the face of Trump, and she didn't. We have another picture of her.
I don't think we do.
Oh, the cabinet room one? Oh. Well,
unless
you remember.
Unless you found it, Rich, but all right.
No, you
were in trouble in here.
You remember her standing up in the cabinet room right across from him, pointing her finger at him as he sits there. He sits, she's standing. And she's pointing at him and saying something like, you're the worst creature ever. Just magnificent. Now, she deserves credit for, as Speaker of the House, getting Don't Ask, Don't Tell repealed, passing the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Act, the Respect for Marriage Act.
COPWA. Getting the quilt on the mall in 1987. Passing the Equality Act twice in the Congress.
Someday it'll pass. Passing the Affordable Care Act against the Defense of Marriage Act, against California Prop 8. But a little tripping back in history a little. When Pelosi ran for Congress in her 40s for the first time after raising five children,
how old is she?
Older than us, a little, she ran in a primary. And one of the other people in the primary was Harry Britt, out gay.
Successor to Harvey Milk on the Board of Supervisors.
Right.
We were rooting for him.
We were. And we regarded Pelosi as more of a centrist.
Yeah.
And people were not entirely happy.
She had a lot of money.
Yes, she did.
Personal.
So people saw her as a rich woman who wanted a seat in Congress.
And so when I was covering the March on Washington in 1987, I spotted her, and that's exactly what was in my head. This woman came along and took on Harry Britton.
And that was the year she'd been elected in a special election.
Yes, she had just been elected, and she was one of the, but it turns out she was one of the only congressmen there. So, you know, I just asked her about what she was there for. So here was that interview in 87.
We're talking to Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi from California. How are you enjoying your first few months in Congress?
Absolutely great. This is a great day, too, Day of the March.
Why did you decide to come out here today? You seem to be one of the few members of Congress here.
Well, I have a strong contingent of San Franciscans here in Washington for it. I've marched in other gay, the AIDS walk, the Gay Freedom Day parade, and this is a logical thing for me to do. Well, we have a few specific pieces of legislation. The first day I became a member, I became a co-sponsor of the Gay Civil Rights Bill, Ted Weiss's bill, and we have a few pieces of legislation regarding AIDS, more money for AIDS, confidentiality, non-discrimination. And so we had a lobby day, and we presented four or five bills that we asked our friends to help us with, to go to members of Congress and ask them to support those. They pertain to more money for AIDS and gay rights.
So not evasive at all.
No, totally comfortable.
You know?
Well, she was from San Francisco.
Yes.
She had run in a primary against Harry Britt. She was steeped in all of this.
She better be good.
But she was astonishing. And that was the second national March on Washington for LGBTQ rights.
First one was in 1979.
Yeah, and this was 1987. And Andy got this exclusive interview with her quite stunning.
And we're suing MSNBC for using it without our permission. So
that's
don't anybody
true.
Try. You want to use it, you come to us, and we'll talk about it.
Yes, we'll be happy to grant you permission for not a price, but don't steal it.
She endorsed openly trans military service. It goes on and on.
But really strong on helping people with AIDS. And there are a lot of stories in her bios about her personal connections to people with AIDS.
She has a trans granddaughter.
Yeah. But people with AIDS who she was close to over the years. And
first one was a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are extremely grateful for all her years of service.
And for appearing on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars.
Well, just for her outright courage.
Absolutely.
Now, we haven't agreed with everything she's done, but she made a few moves as speaker that were a little...
In her retirement speech, which we will link to in our email, that's you go to gayusatv.org, and you can sign up for our weekly email, and you get the extras. And you could also maybe make a year-end donation to GayUSA to keep us going. But in that retirement interview, she did... talk about her AIDS work in San Francisco.
Yes.
Do we have that?
Of course, HIV/AIDS tested our city to its core. But out of our agony came action. Under the leadership of UCSF and San Francisco General, we pioneered comprehensive community-based care, prevention, and research. That very system served as a model as we wrote the Ryan White Care Act, which still ensures access to life-saving medical care nationwide. Fittingly, our city is home to the National AIDS Memorial Grove, a place of renewal where we remember the loved ones we lost. For decades, I've cherished the privilege of representing our magnificent city in the United States Congress.
We do. We love her.
We do, and we appreciate her model of first stepping down from the speakership.
Yes.
And then stepping out of Congress. I think those were both rational decisions. I would like people of equal courage and weight and intelligence to step in, but she did her job for 40 years and did it great.
And one of the leading candidates to replace her is Scott Wiener, an openly gay legislator out there.
Yeah.
And another rich guy who is more actually to the left, so we'll see. All right. You want to do Sandwich Guy, one of your favorite stories? Sean Dunn.
Dunn, out gay man in shorts and a plaid shirt, confronting a group of ICE guys on the street in Washington, D.C. when they came into town. And he got so angry and so frustrated, he was holding a Subway sandwich or a sub, and he just wham, threw it at the guy, hit him in the chest. He's wearing a bulletproof vest, Kevlar.
So it didn't get through.
No, it just went, fell on the ground.
But I could smell the mustard, he said.
Well, he was sort of prompted on that. He was
sure.
Because Jeanine Pirro wanted to prosecute Sean.
Wanted him in for 7 to 10 years for terrorism.
Well, it took it to the grand jury and tried to get them to indict him for felony assault. And they said, get out of here.
This is D.C. So he gets acquitted and then he gives a very...
Well, first, they wouldn't indict him, so then she took it to a lower court and charged him with misdemeanors, and they would have none of it either and acquitted him. So then...
He spoke.
And that night, I believed that I was protecting the rights of immigrants. And let us not forget that the Great Seal of the United States says, E pluribus unum. That means from many, one. Every life matters, no matter where you came from, no matter how you got here, no matter how you identify. You have the right to live a life that is free. Thank you.
Sean, what does that have to do with throwing a sandwich, though?
All right, thank you very much.
Yay.
That's some right-wing
right.
journalist. I was sorry he wasn't in his shorts and plaid shirt.
This is the same Department of Justice that refuses to prosecute Tom Homan, the ICE czar, border czar, who accepted a $50,000 bribe to hire certain people.
And won't answer questions about where the $50,000 is.
Well, anyway, as one somebody
right
noted,
on, Sean,
somebody
you
noted
did the right
he
thing.
Beat the rap.
W-R-A-P.
Yes. All right.
All right.
Where are we going?
How about the Space Force colonel? So a trans woman who was a colonel in the Space Force,
yes.
Bree Fram,
yep.
Was thrown out. Thrown out because they're throwing everybody out of the yep. military who's trans. And she says she will continue her fight to be reinstated.
She says, I'm still grieving over the loss of what I believe my future was. I invested almost 23 years in the service.
And meanwhile, 17 trans Air Force and Space Force people who have had their retirement benefits revoked, because that's another cruel thing that the Trump administration is
right.
doing, are suing to have those reinstated.
Right. By the way, another Trump thing, and obviously, even though I don't know sign language, they've been ordered to do sign language at press briefings under
yeah.
the ADA. The case has been won, and they still won't do it. They say, we'll hand out transcripts.
Despicable.
They are defying court orders all over the place now. Now, you know, that's what's coming.
Ignoring.
Well, let's go back to Tuesday's elections.
Okay.
In both Virginia and in New Jersey, you know, you had the Republican candidates in Virginia, Winsome Earl Sears and Jack Chinarelli. They spent more than half of their money on anti-trans ads to try to defeat their Democratic opponents. I mean, millions and millions and millions of dollars, and it didn't work.
Well, that's very heartening, because the history for decades has been, you know, first the Republicans would use abortion as a scare tactic to win elections. Then they would use LGBTQ people as a foil and marriage equality. And they would just trot out all these scare ads and scare tactics.
And there's a lot of anti-immigrant stuff, too, of course.
Of course. But in our
yes.
lane, this is what they were doing. So if they've now hit a wall with trans people... That's pretty big.
She lost in Virginia by 15 points.
Well, she was a mess.
And the guy in Jersey lost by 13 points. These were blowouts.
Well,
and they were expected to be close.
Well, New Jersey was. Virginia was not, because if you look at Winsome City...
You never know.
Well, you do to some extent.
And then in New York City, our friend Zoran Mamdani, who is going to be the new mayor... He won an unprecedented 82% of the LGBTQ vote. Now, We were 14% of the electorate. P.S., among non-gay people, non-LGBT, they were tied. So they were tied between Cuomo and Mamdani. So yeah. We were the margin of victory. Now, having said that, almost any community can say they were the margin of victory because they voted for him.
Sure, but I'm proud of our community for being sensible enough to vote for Mamdani.
Especially since Cuomo was trying to say he was anti-gay because he wouldn't give up his Uganda citizenship.
Mamdani. Not Cuomo saying he himself was anti-gay, although he is. But I'm very impressed by the start of his organizing his office and his team. He's really reaching out across the board to all sorts of people and really...
You can apply. There's an open portal.
Sure. But he is so far picking people who are highly competent. Yeah. Highly competent. He's not picking, maybe one or two...
Crazy people?
No. Yet to be determined. He's not picking his cohort,
His chief of staff is going to be a DSA person.
Yes, who's worked with him for many years.
Yeah.
But he is going outside that circle to pick a lot of people.
That's
heartening.
All right. So on a footnote to all that mayoral stuff, Andrew Cuomo is looking at Jerry Nadler's seat in Congress, which is opened up.
No, he's not. He said he's not.
He says he's not. We'll talk about people who said they're not and now they are.
Yeah.
But now Jack Schlossberg, Caroline Kennedy's son and JFK's only grandson, got a picture of him. Maybe we don't. None of the pictures we have of them. All right.
You can look him up. Jack Schlossberg, easy to find. But here's the really fun fact. Jack Schlossberg and our friend Eric Botcher, longtime city council member, who is also running for this seat, live on the same block behind you on 24th Street.
Jack Schlossberg lives behind me on
24th
Street?
I told you this.
I have never seen him.
But
don't tend to see the people on 24th Street. It's another land.
He lives in London Terrace on the 24th Street side on that block, the same block
as
Eric.
He's in my building?
Andy, we have had this conversation.
All right. Jack, we don't have your membership in the Tenants Association.
He's
you get
in
flyers
the co-op.
Under your door.
He's in the co-op.
Oh, all right. Oh, he's a co-op guy, like you were.
Yeah. So here's what I propose. Jack Schlossberg, Eric Botcher, block games. I want competition on a regular basis between the two of them.
Fights?
Out in the street. My first thought was jousting at 6 a.m. Not pistols, but maybe jousting, but maybe board games. Maybe intellectual games, maybe whatever, hopscotch.
Well, the Tenants Association could do a forum with them. But
they
we
could,
should say.
But I want things that are more fun.
We should say that. So you've got Schlossberg, maybe Andrew Cuomo, but the real.
But several others.
The workhorses in the race, and I think that is what the communities are going to go for, are Councilmember Eric Botcher from Chelsea. Assemblymember Michael Lasher from the West Side and Assemblymember Alex Boris from the East Side.
Well, Lasher is the one who is Nadler's former colleague and who Nadler is reputed to be backing, although we don't know that formally yet, do we?
It hasn't happened formally yet, no.
But it should be a hot race.
Now, we've
especially
also,
locally.
Because of all the upset in the Democratic Party, there's a challenger to Hakeem Jeffries, Chai Asse. He's only 27. I shouldn't say it that way because young people are ascendant these days. But he is hiring staff to challenge him against the explicit objections of the mayor-elect Mamdani, who doesn't want to, upset that apple cart there.
He has a tenuous relationship to Jeffries to begin with, and it took forever for Jeffries to endorse him. But Asse, while he has announced his interest, has not formally declared yet.
And he is a member of the DSA. And then, these
and
stories,
out gay.
Yes, these stories, I mean, we're doing a lot of local, you can call them local stories, but these have national ramifications. Mm. The race for the, who's going to be the Speaker of the New York City Council, Crystal Hudson, out gay, lesbian, who's gay and black, is one of the two leading candidates to lead the 51-member city council, and she's the left candidate. Against
Julie Menon, who is Julie Menon's a good person, right?
She would be the first Jewish speaker, and some Jewish leaders say she could be a counterbalance to Mom Dottie. Whoa!
I think she would be an ally.
Well,
but she is
a mother, and her mother and grandmother survived the Holocaust, and so.
And there's a new Democratic member of the city council from the Bronx.
Okay.
Flipped a seat. And in the...
All right, got rid of a Republican. We're doing it.
Yeah. And in the best example of pique and high dudgeon, the fire commissioner quit as soon as Mom Dottie
really?
Won. Yes.
Oh, God.
I'm not working for that guy.
Well, we read about all the people. You know, the Post says millions of... New York Post says millions of people are going to leave. They're not
Oh, please. Nonsense. Nonsense.
Happens. Now... We didn't do the story last week. This news, we talked about the big states where there were Democratic sweeps, but in Ohio, more than three dozen out LGBTQ candidates won in Tuesday's election. And everything from local city councils, school boards, it's an amazing list. It's huge. Three dozen. What, you want to look at it?
I do. Meanwhile, a Republican representative in Congress from Georgia wants to block funds to the socialist New York City. And they're sitting around in the White House and making lists of funds that come to New York City that they can cancel.
Maybe we can cancel our funds going there and the federal government would go bankrupt.
Exactly.
They'd have to have another shutdown. Maryland's State Board of Education reversed a local book ban for the first time under the state's Freedom to Read Act. And the book was Michael Corrado's semi-autobiographical young adult graphic novel Flamer, which is about gay kids being bullied at a summer... being bullied. Anyway, so they were against that. All right, let's talk about... what's happening in the entertainment world with all these right-wing corporations taking over. This guy Ellison, who took over CBS and Paramount, is looking to blacklist any actor who calling genocide in Israel. And that includes Javier Bardem, Joaquin Phoenix, Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo, among others. It's a huge list, and he wants them out.
Now, they're not allowed to do movies for Paramount or CBS, and he, of course, he does own CBS at the moment, and that's all just going down the drain very quickly.
Right.
A little good news in California, the Supreme Court there has upheld non-discrimination laws regarding sexual orientation and gender identity for nursing home residents. The right wing had put forth a free speech challenge. They wanted nursing home staff to be able to use discriminatory language and disregard people's pronoun preferences.
It's tough enough being in a nursing home. And, you know, my LGBTQ friends have had to go into nursing homes, always get worried about staff. But it's gotten better. Sage has done a lot of work with staff.
Yes. But, well, and the world has gotten better. People understand more. But why is it so hard to respect people's identities?
I mean, it's like when somebody tells you their name and what they'd like to be called, respect it.
Try to remember it.
Well, it's difficult. There are techniques. All right. In Texas, a divided federal appeals court panel has given Texas the go-ahead to enforce a state law that criminalizes sexually oriented shows on public property, a ban that drag performers say targets them. And they're sort of saying, well, you know, you just don't do it sexually. You won't get in trouble.
Well, the law says you can't do sexual shows in public. So is that all drag shows? Do we define drag as sex, no, as sexual, no matter what? Or is there a distinction made between more vanilla drag shows and more sexually overt drag shows? And does it have to do with kids in the audience? It's confusing.
Well, one of the judges wrote, "We have genuine doubt, however, that pulsing prosthetic breasts in front of people, putting prosthetic breasts in people's faces, and being spanked by audience members are actually constitutionally protected."
Why?
Exactly.
Why not? Well, here's an even better one. Ted Cruz, you know who he is, the senator from Texas, he wants to criminalize all protesters.
Right.
You go out in the street and hold a protest, mostly against Ted Cruz, and you can be arrested, according to his proposed law.
Oh, they're working on this.
Yeah.
They're doing crap like that in Britain as well. Yep. People are losing their protest and free speech rights.
It makes me, you know, over the years I've come to understand that the 60s and 70s were a very small and special moment in time.
Well, look, in World War I, if you protested the war, you were put in jail. Eugene V. Debs had to run for president from jail because he criticized World War I.
Which was why it was so heartwarming to have Zoran Mamdani quote Eugene Debs at the beginning of his acceptance speech.
Yes, he did. He was a great socialist, and he won a lot of votes for president.
He did. But
from jail.
But if you look at the entire sweep of history in this country, you see that most of it has been pretty rotten. And, yes. You know, I wanted to become a journalist watching the Vietnam War in the 60s when I was in college and seeing the kind of reporting that came out of it. And I get to the networks and I realize, oh, wait, that's not happening anymore. That's all gone. That was just a tiny moment. And there hasn't been a war since that has been covered as openly.
Except media has changed so much. I mean, we're kind of old media with this television show. But everybody's on TikTok giving the news, on Instagram giving the news.
Yes.
They're bypassing. Jack Schlossberg is on the social media.
Aye. And some of his stuff is very...
offensive.
It is. Sort of to be provocative, to get... notice.
Using the C word, that kind of stuff. It doesn't go.
And it's beyond that, too. And it's just, not appealing.
Somebody called Kim Davis the B word on my page. I eliminated that.
Yeah.
All right. You want to do the Tampa street racer?
Sure. In Tampa, a street racer named Silas Sampson, a 22-year-old, I'll call him an idiot, he and someone were having a street race, you know.
They used to call them drag races.
Well, I see them on the West Side Highway, and it's very scary.
Wow.
Yeah, you see cars going 100 miles an hour, going weaving in and out of traffic, and you just sit there and think,
wow.
Oh, my God, this is not going to end well, and I'm going to be caught up in the middle of it. Not yet, but he crashed, and he crashed into a gay bar, and he killed 4 people,
and
13 others were injured, some in very bad condition.
This is where they have an out gay mayor, Jane Castor, who said, "Our entire city feels this loss."
Now, he claimed he was being pursued by the cops, and it is...
They claim they had backed off.
Well, this is an ongoing debate. Should the cops pursue or should they back off? And, you know, we don't know what actually happened in this case, but there is a big debate about whether the cops should just back off.
Somebody we lost? Or you got some other news stories?
Go ahead.
All right. We lost Paul Tagliabue. He's the former commissioner of the National Football League.
Yeah.
But he was a big PFLAG supporter.
He had a gay son.
He did. Drew, who was executive director of PFLAG New York for many years. Paul Tagliabue and his wife donated $100,000 to a campaign to defend same-sex marriage in Maryland in 2012. That's significant.
And they donated $1 million to Georgetown University, where Drew had gone to school, and I think maybe Paul, too, I'm not sure, someone else, to start the initiative for the Tagliabue Initiative for LGBTQ Life at Georgetown
Catholic School,
Catholic University,
which used to fight having a gay group in court.
Exactly. Now, I am sorry to tell you that, I mean, he did a lot of things. He got the NFL to move the Super Bowl from Phoenix when Arizona refused to honor MLK Junior Day.
He expanded the league from 28 to 32 teams.
He solved a lot of labor problems when he came in, but the one thing he didn't do was do anything about concussions, which makes it very, very difficult to watch the NFL these days.
Frankly, nobody should be playing football.
But here's a headline. The New York Times, in its extensive obituary of Paul Tagliabue, neglected to mention any of his gay support, his gay son, the Gay Institute at Georgetown, nothing, not a word. Not a word.
Sounds like Ken Burns, which we will get to.
Well, it sounds like the New York Times neglecting to mention Susan Sontag's relationship with Annie Leibovitz.
Wow.
It's just shameful.
Shameful. Well, but we want to remember the Trans Day of Remembrance is November 20th. And just Google Trans Day of Remembrance and your hometown and find out about the events going on there.
Another thing from the elections last week, there was a real revolution in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, where Democrats took over a lot of seats, one of which was a Democrat beating the local sheriff who had signed on to cooperate with ICE. And the voters said, oh, no, we're having none of that. We're getting rid of you.
They see it on the news every day, these horrible raids. Yep. Horrible, horrible raids. Grabbing children, grabbing teachers, grabbing people in court, throwing people to the ground, wearing all these masks. It's fascism. And
well, this is why the Republicans have overplayed their hands and why we're on a good track, mostly. Well, in Texas, the third largest school district, Democrats won three open board seats, thereby flipping the board from 6-1 conservative to 4-3 progressive. The board had censored textbooks, and that was not sitting well with the locals.
I will only be heartened if Texas rejects Ken Paxton as their U.S. senator,
exactly.
This horrible guy who's always after us.
Yep. So, well, they have some Democratic candidates who are
international
good.
News. No.
No, wait a second.
Go ahead. I'll wait.
Colorado voted to increase taxes on the wealthy so that they could give free school lunches and higher pay for school workers. And I don't know if we did this, in Detroit, Michigan, in the suburbs, the FBI arrested three people who were armed and trained themselves to attack gay bars.
Right.
The defense lawyer for these guys said, it's lies, it's hysteria, it's fear-mongering.
Well, I don't know.
Please, it's Michigan. They were going to kidnap the governor.
Right.
So, yeah, we're doing Ken Burns and Cindy Lauper later.
There's a new, Uganda is horrible for LGBTQ people, and they're now, but they've thought up a new bill that you will be a criminal for simply saying you are anything but straight. The language in the bill, here's the news, echoes executive orders issued by Trump in his crusade against the transgender community. They're learning from Trump.
Well, you remember when he first took office, he outlawed trans, basically. Yes, the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, is debating trans participation, particularly in women's sports, in the all upcoming Olympics. And we got a note from a viewer alerting us to something going on with the Gay Games, which are supposed to be in Valencia, Spain, next year. There's a new conservative government there that wants to take...
In Spain?
Yes, in Valencia.
Oh, okay.
In Valencia.
Yeah. They have a left-wing government
nationally. But Valencia is evidently more conservative, and that local government wants to take over control of the Gay Games because they think they will profit hugely from it. They want the money. They want to oust the leadership of the Gay Games. And they don't really much care one way or the other about gay, but they want the money.
All right. China is censoring two popular gay dating apps in their ongoing crackdown. Now, homosexual practice is not illegal in China, but the country censored Grindr back in 2022, and now two other gay social apps have been blocked as well. You want to talk about the Kiwi firefighters?
Oh, sure.
New Zealand.
Yes. In New Zealand, a bunch of female firefighters were sitting around and saying, you know, the men make a lot of money off these calendars. These sort of sexy calendars. Why don't we do one? And they did. And it's if we try to show it to you, we may or may not be able to insert a picture. But look up the New Zealand female firefighters calendar. It is fantastic, especially in their big pants with suspenders and then just a sports bra.
And the calendar is there to raise $100,000 to support New Zealand's research organization, Breast Cancer Cure. And this, of course, sparked global attention.
And there were a ton of funny comments in the online posting about this, which I didn't write down, so you're going to have to find them yourselves. But congratulations to them. They did a great job with it.
Okay. And apparently, LGBTQ Russians are fleeing to Argentina, because Argentina wrote something in its constitution in 1854 that everybody's welcome on Argentinian soil. Everybody. That's why the Nazis went there after World War II.
Well, I was going to say, we've heard this story before.
but gay Russians are saying, I can be free here. I can get married here.
I can exist under the fascist president.
I can be who I want to be. Well, that could be a problem.
Maybe, right. Maybe not. Maybe right. He likes the Russians.
So are you ready for entertainment news?
No, I'm ready for AIDS news because World AIDS Day is coming up on December 1st.
What are we going to do?
We're going to go to the New York City AIDS Memorial where on 7th Avenue and 12th Street. They're going to have events from noon to 7. They're going to be reading the names of people who've died, which is the traditional thing to do. And at 6:30, they're going to have a candlelight vigil and concert, which the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are involved in. So this is an event really started by Brett Nicholson Earl, who ran around the perimeter of the United States many years ago, before some of you were born, to raise money for AIDS. And Brent's still around, and World AIDS Day celebrations are still around. So,
and Housing Works will be reading those names.
Yes, and the day before, on November 30th, Visual AIDS is doing the Day Without Art, another longstanding event, at the Whitney Museum, where at 2:30 they are going to have a free event showing international films connected to HIV and AIDS.
And there will be World AIDS Day's events wherever you live around the world, if it's in an accepting society or maybe not. And so check out, you know, happening where you are.
Well, these films are going to be shown at 100-plus museums around the world.
Great.
So look for it in your area.
All right,
now entertainment news.
Well, Ken Burns' much-anticipated documentary about the American Revolution is coming up on the 16th of November on PBS. But our friend Mark Siegel has been remonstrating with them. I was feeling hopeless about them ever identifying all the LGBTQ people who had something to do with the revolution, but especially Baron von Steuben, who was hired by Washington from Prussia, where he was thrown out for being gay, to be the trainer of the troops, an absolutely essential role. Could not have won the revolution without him. So, you know, we were hoping that they would at least acknowledge he was gay, but what did they put in there? One line about what's the line?
Took familiarities with boys.
Which is a slur and not,
of course,
not documented. I mean, he was a gay man, but so you're just going to say he's a pedophile.
So they talk about all his heroic training of the troops. They talk about how crucial he was. And then as a sort of snickering aside, they say, and he took familiarities with boys.
Yeah, but the fact is, Washington knew that he was gay. The troops knew that he was gay. And Washington said, I got to have this guy, you know, whatever you think of that. And so Mark Siegel remonstrated with them, got nowhere, finally got a letter that said, you know, we don't have time for this, basically. We're on a very tight thing.
Cut out that one clip.
All you had to say is Washington knew he was gay and needed him and accepted him anyway. How about that? Ken
to replace.
Burns. And I think Ken Burns, first of all, he doesn't want to offend donors. Secondly, he is an effeminate gay man. A heterosexual man. And I think he sort of is a little defensive about these issues.
Possible. He has a long history of omitting.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yes.
Never acknowledged her bisexuality. Said in the Roosevelt documentary, she was surrounded by new women, they were called, who were lesbians. But what about her? She was in a love affair with Lorena Haycock. I mean, that's been well documented. So it's just, Ken,
your time has passed, Ken. We're beyond that. The audience can take it. Okay. All right. In L.A., they did the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions. They used to do it in Cleveland at the Hall of Fame. And one of those inducted was one of our favorites, Cyndi Lauper, who performed and who at one point had a big rainbow flag hanging from the ceiling behind her and talked about courage as a necessary component of life and was introduced by Chapel Roan, who endorsed all that.
I saw the movie Peter Hujar's Day, very prominent photographer, but this takes place in 1974. He was interviewed by a woman named Linda Rosenkrantz, and there was a transcript of the interview. So they act out the transcript, which is a little precious, and it gets a little tedious. I fell asleep at times. But he knew everybody. I mean, he was not famous then. He was talking. It was just about his day. Oh, I'm going off to photograph Allen Ginsberg. And Allen Ginsberg says to me, oh, you could photograph Naked Lunch?
William Burroughs?
William Burroughs. You could do him, but you'll have to give him oral sex. I mean, he's talking about these things. So it's a lot of names. He knew, Susan Sontag very well. So it's interesting in that sense. It's a moment in time in the East Village. What I don't like is that some of the reviewers are saying, oh, but he died of AIDS and it's all over the film. Well, we didn't know anything about AIDS then.
Offshoot from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Surviving Mormonism with Heather Gay, a three-part series on Bravo and Peacock. The first episode, all about her gay friends and conversion therapy by Mormons. Episode 2 coming up, advertised as more about Mormons and conversion therapy.
And hold the presses, Cola Scola is writing the new Miss Piggy movie.
Produced by Jennifer Lawrence and Emma Stone. He has also joined the cast of One Piece on Netflix for season 3.
And
they have joined the cast.
Christian Cooper, has our movie reviewer and sometime co-host, has seen Pluribus. Did I say it right?
Yes.
The new sci-fi series streaming on Apple Plus starring Rhea Seehorn, who is, the character is a lesbian.
And that's the
lead character. She says he's
unlikable.
We're almost out of time.
And the Mixed New York City Festival of Experimental Films is coming up November 20th through 22nd at the Quad